Our seal is an unbreakable seal. It does have an expiration date, but the expiration date is when we're safe in the arms of God and in Jesus Christ. Thank God for our seal, the precious Holy Spirit. Ownership, identification, security, value, and authority. The seal of the Holy Spirit on the life of a believer. Take your Bibles and go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. You know, I often think about the early New Testament church. The church that spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the church that was so persecuted, the church of the first several centuries. I think of Tertullian, who said the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. I think about the book of James written to the brethren who were scattered abroad. They were scattered abroad because of the persecution at Jerusalem. Everywhere they went, they shared the gospel of Jesus Christ and changed their world. The Apostle Paul was accused of turning the world upside down. As we look this afternoon, our message is about the Holy Spirit, and the title is A Sure Seal. You used to think about this seal like sealing wax on top of jelly, or making sure your refrigerator got all the way shut before you went away on vacation. Because if that seal was breached, you might have a problem. I used to think about one time we were canning. You know those little tails on green beans? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, they got the end with the stem on them, you pick that off, and then they got the other end, and it goes down to a point, and then there's a little tail on it. I'm not sure if tail is a proper word for what's on it, but one time we were canning beans, and one of those tails somehow snuck up over the edge of the jar and got in the seal. And that little tail was sticking out of the seal, and it kind of just like corroded its way in. And when we opened that jar of green beans, we had a big yellow, white fungi thing growing in there with the beans. So we said, we're not just having green beans tonight, we're having green beans and mushrooms. No, we threw it out. There were some doubts about it, so we had to throw it out. A seal in the Bible times was a way that a person could identify something he owned. You guys remember the Cedars of Lebanon? I was watching this thing where they were showing gardens, and they showed this garden, and they showed a cedar of Lebanon. And it was a tree that this king and his wife had brought back and planted to celebrate a milestone in their family. And, of course, you know, I had to look up the Cedars of Lebanon when I read about them in Scripture. And I was expecting to see some big old redwood type tree. And there are some amazing, massive, beautiful cedars. And the wood is so beautiful, and it's a wood that is not affected by corruption, does not rot. It is not affected by insects. It can't be sought by a pestilence. It's something that is lasting. But the Cedars of Lebanon, everybody found out they were good stuff when Solomon built the temple, built out of the best, and King Hiram sent him cedars from Lebanon and started a trade of cedar from Lebanon. And they would take those cedar trees and they'd cut them down and they'd push them out in the ocean. Doesn't that sound familiar to something they used to do in Alaska? And they'd push them down the coast, and they'd bump down the coast, and they'd get down here to a port. And they'd bring them into Seattle. They'd bring them in to Astoria. They had sawmills there, and they'd cut them up. These cedars of Lebanon in Bible times, they would have these trees, and they would purchase them at the auction. And the fellow that purchased the trees would go out there, and he would put his stamp on them. You know, his stamp might be that he had a way of writing on it, or that he had a brand. He'd take that brand and get it red hot, and he'd burn it inside that thing. And he'd stand back and say, "Ma, that looks nice. Says Caleb Miller on it. Everyone's going to know them are my trees." Those trees bumped down the coast. They got to the ports near Jerusalem, and they would pull them out. And whosoever trees they were, they made sure they got them. The stamp or the seal was an indication of ownership. It's a sign of a finished transaction. You wouldn't go start marking the logs that you was thinking about buying. No, that'd be stealing. You weren't allowed to indicate that you owned them until you had purchased them. It's a sign of a finished contract. It was a identification. It was a security. There was a pastor, and he was along the Mississippi River, and they had a similar situation where they put their brand in the end of the logs. The pastor was out riding along the river, and guess what he saw? Saw somebody down there with a saw, and he was cutting off this much off the end of the log. Cutting it off, and then he goes to the next log, he's cutting it off. And he's like, "Huh, why is he down there cutting it off?" He stops and watches him for a while, and then he gets out his brand. And he puts a new brand on. He cut off the old one. A pastor got to look, and he said, "I think that guy goes to my church." So he got up Sunday morning, and he preached a message on "Thou shalt not steal." And everyone's like, "Great, great message, pastor. That was so wonderful." And he's like, "Oh, man, here comes this guy that he saw cutting the ends of them logs off." And he says, "Man, pastor, that was a wonderful message. Thank you for that. I appreciate that so much." And he's like, "Oh, man, they did not get that at all." He went right along the river again. He saw another guy down there cutting the ends off logs and putting his seal on them. The next Sunday, he preached another message. He said, "I'm going to preach a message very similar to last Sunday's message, but it's not 'Thou shalt not steal.' Is thou shalt not cut ends off thy neighbor's logs and put thine own stamp on them." That was his last Sunday as pastor there. A seal is very important. To violate the seal, to cut it off, was an act of thievery, an act of dishonor. The system worked so well because people respected it. The stamp of security. Has anybody ever stayed at a hotel for any reason? And, you know, in the morning, people get there, and they want to get everybody out of the room so they can start cleaning them, and maybe you weren't going to leave right away. There's a handy-dandy little thing inside the hotel that you can put on your door, and it says, "Do not disturb." And if they come to your door and they see that, guess what they'll do? They'll pass by it and go to the next room. They'll come back and do yours last. There's a time when you should be checked out, or maybe you're just asking for your room not to be cleaned that day. But there's a sense of ownership, of a finished transaction, of security. It's an identification. If I was going to make a seal for logs, guess what I would put on the seal? Anybody want to guess? It wouldn't be Caleb Miller. It would be Beatty. Why would I do that? If you come along and you looked a stack of logs and they all were stamped Caleb Miller, whose logs would you think they were? Because something about that stamp has identified them with him. What would it be? His name. Caleb is going to marry Abby if everything goes right. And at that point, Abby's going to go from being Abby Beatty to Abby... Anybody want to guess? Miller. Are you going to change your middle name too? Okay, good. She is going to stop identifying with... And she's going to identify with... And it's going to be because of the change. When she writes her name, it's going to be Abigail Elizabeth Miller. Or Mrs. Caleb Miller. Won't that be interesting? It's a lot of responsibility, Caleb. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for taking this off of my hands. So, it's a sign of ownership, a finished transaction, identification, security, genuineness. I don't know why we have some stuff back here today, but I have this Ohio State Buckeyes hat. And inside it, there's a stamp that says, Donegal Bay, USA, Universal Fit. There's a phone number. Can you believe it? Wow, 216 phone number. It says, made in China. 100% cotton. Collegiate licensed product. It means we did not steal this insignia. We rented it to put on our hat, and we paid the college something for it. We paid the NCAA or whoever's got the rights to that to make this hat. Ta-da! It's a stamp of genuineness. This is not a knockout. This is not a knockoff. This is not a counterfeit. This is a genuine collegiate licensed product with the Ohio State symbol on it. It's a stamp of it's genuine. You know, sometimes around the holidays, they come out with these catalogs, and the catalogs open, they're very interesting. And once in a while, you'll get a catalog that is catered to your last name. I went somewhere and I saw Dr. Townsend, and he had on a sweatshirt that said Townsend University. And I thought, how cool that he found a shirt, Townsend University. And then a couple years later, the catalog came to my house. And the catalog had a shirt you could buy that said Beatty University, just like Mr. Townsend's. I was like, oh, this is too cool. Guess what I did? Yes, I did. I got a Beatty University sweatshirt. And I got my dad a Beatty University sweatshirt and hat. And you know what I saw on another page in that book? They had this metal thing for cooking steaks, and it said Beatty on it, and you could plug it in and get it nice and hot, and right when your steak was about done, you could put it over there and go, pshht, and then you could flop it over the plate, and when they looked at it, it would say Beatty right on the steak. Now, I somehow managed not to buy that. I don't know how. I must have been very poor because it's still so appealing to me. It indicates ownership, a finished transaction, identification, security, a genuineness, value. In my childhood, we had several very, very ornery dogs. Big dogs. I mean, we didn't start having little poodle dogs till later on. We had big dog named Sam, and he was an interesting dog. We had another dog named Pepper, and Pepper was he was interested in eradicating every skunk near our house. We would go out in the field, and we'd find a skunk missing its head and one leg. Go, oh, Pepper must have found that skunk. Now, as many skunks as Pepper found, those skunks found Pepper also. He came home and he was smelling a little peppery. There was a smell about him from the skunk. Now, Pepper was a super cool dog. Always protecting around the house. Now, the thing was, Pepper would not feel very good about having a cat around. If you know what, it's just a skunk that got a little culture. And he's looking at that cat and looking all disappointed at my dad. And then looking at the cat and looking all disappointed at my brothers. Now, the cat happened to belong to my brother Steve. Yeah, he had a lot of problems early in life, and we thought we got him on the right track, but he has a cat right now that he takes pictures of on his phone, movies of it, and sends it to me. And if I see something from him, I have to just delete it, because it might be that cat. So, what would stop a big, tough dog like Pepper from following his natural inclination and saying, we need to just rid the world of cats, and here's a good one to start with? I remember when I was in second or third grade trying to figure this out, and I thought it through a few times. I asked a few adults a question, and here's what I arrived at. As long as the dog looks at the cat and feels like we own it, it will tolerate it because it's our cat. It's kind of like boys that have sisters that are mean or fierce or unkind, and they just like, well, they're family, so I have to put up with them. The dog will go, I know it's wrong, but it's our cat, so I guess I'll put up with it. And it's one of the things that a seal does for you. The dog goes, well, it belongs to Stephen, so we've got to take care of it. And now he'll even defend that cat that he might have destroyed because of the value placed on it by the family. A seal indicates all of these things, but I want to emphasize this last thing that a seal indicates. A seal indicates authority. I ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read a couple of scriptures there. 12 and 13, the Bible says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, and that ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is an interesting discussion about a person who is coming into God's family, who is receiving salvation. They heard the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. After they heard the word of God, they trusted the gospel of their salvation. They believed and they were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know, last night we went and did like a little mystery thing. And there was a room, and it had all these clues in it, and the clues weren't very straightforward. But we had a very intelligent team, and we read the clues over and over again and searched the room, and we found all the key clues. There was a picture with a tiny little door in it. I can't tell too many things. But we figured out all these clues. And one thing, we used a black light to see something that wasn't visible to the naked eye. We managed all these clues to find this thing. Now here we have God sealing us with the Holy Spirit. We look in Revelations and we see the 144,000, 12,000 from every tribe. Looks like the lost tribes can be found somehow. For there's 12,000 from every tribe there in Revelations, right? And they have a seal in their forehead. It's a seal of God. And they're going to witness and they're going to focus and they're going to worship and they're going to give themselves for Jesus Christ. Well, they come into church. I say, do you got the special seal? And we get out our special holy lamp or black light, and we shine it on your forehead. Why are you wearing your hair so low? What are you trying to cover? Oh, there's no seal there. Get out. We can't see it, can we? But God says we have a seal that's given after we trusted Christ as part of our salvation, that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. If we look later in Ephesians, we'll see that that seal is until the day of redemption. In 2 Corinthians 1:22, says, who has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. This is a similar idea. The earnest is when you put down a bit of money on something and you take a receipt. And it's your earnest money. You might go down to a car lot. They might want, you know, for one of their used cars, they might want $5,000 or $6,000. And you might say, yeah, I'm going to buy this car. You go ahead and you sign the contract and you put down earnest money. A dollar bill will do. It's procedural, because you don't get the car until you come back and pay the whole amount. The procedure of the earnest money is, here's the contract signed, here's the money, I am earnest. Jackie and I put $400 down on our first house, earnest money. Said, we're coming back to buy this house. God says that he's given us the seal of the Holy Spirit. He's given us that earnest. He's going to finish the contract. He's going to complete it. He's going to come back. And if he's sealed you with the seal of the Holy Spirit, it's a sign of his authority. It's a sign of his ownership. It's a sign of the value he places on you. It's a sign of genuineness. It's a sign of security. It's a sign of identification. It's a sign of a completed transaction. Praise the Lord, I'm sealed by God the Father. He's placed the Holy Spirit as a seal on my life. After I believe the gospel of my salvation, after I trusted Jesus Christ, I want to show you three seals quickly in the Bible. The first seal is in Daniel. You guys remember this seal? We've discussed it about three times lately. The king made a law that no one could pray to anybody but him for a month. And Daniel went and prayed just like normal. And all the guys that hated Daniel said, we got you. And they go to the king and say, oh, king, we just noticed Daniel was praying like always. And the king's like, oh, why didn't I think of that when I made that law? And he tried to release Daniel. He sought his lawyers. He sought everybody that could think and do well. And he could not deliver him from the law. So he took Daniel and he put him in the lion's den. And he gave him a little message when he put him down there. And the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him in the den of lions. This is Daniel 6:16. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. I'll tell you what was happening here. The king said, Daniel, your God who you serve, he's going to deliver you. And he brought the stone and he put it on there and then he sealed it. He said, God will protect you from the lions down there and I'll protect you from the lions up here. Nobody's going to sneak down to the lion's den and kill Daniel in the middle of the night. No one's going to go down there and check on the progress because the king sealed the stone on the mouth of the lion's den. It indicated his authority, and no one had better break that seal besides the king. And then he sealed it with the signets of all of his lords. So there'd be no question that someone coming upon that sealed stone should break it or not. They would know this is forbidden. The law of the Medes and the Persians, which changes not. We know how this ended for Daniel. The king spent all night up. He's all fretting and he's worried and he can't sleep. And he goes out early in the morning and breaks a seal. He cries down and says, oh, Daniel. And he said, oh, king, live forever. The Lord sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. The second seal we see, this is a little dangerous here. It's the king, Ahasuerus, in the book of Esther. And Haman came and said, there's these people, the Jews, and they won't follow your laws and respect you, and they won't worship you as a deity. They have their own God. In fact, they're just a scourge to the whole kingdom. I want to write a law and go ahead and get rid of them. And the king's like, oh, don't bore me with all the administrational stuff. And he takes off his ring. And he gives it to Haman. Goes, go ahead, write down the law, and then here's the seal. You can seal it. I don't even have to read it. This is a big sign of trust, isn't it? It's misplaced trust. Haman writes the law. He seals the law. Mordecai finds out about it, sends a message to Esther that God's placed you in the kingdom for a time like this. Esther mentions this to the king after she's had Haman and the king to dinner two nights. The king is so unhappy with himself. I gave Haman that seal and he went off and did that. Here's my queen. They couldn't change the law. So they wrote a clause to it that all the Jews could defend themselves. This Haman was an Agite. He was a descendant of King Agag, who the King Saul spared, brought him back alive. He had offspring, and here they are, a danger to the Jews again. After this day, Purim, we never hear about the Agites again. I think they were wiped off the face of the earth that day, as God used Esther to finish what Saul would not do. He was supposed to take care of everybody. We have one more seal I want to show you. It's another king. Actually a governor. Matthew chapter 27. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate and said, sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Well, who were they talking about? Who would Pilate be involved with, the chief priest and somebody that had been just killed, and he said, I'm going to rise in 3 days? It was Jesus Christ. It said, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. And Pilate said unto them, ye shall have a watch. See, the Jews could not have any weaponry, any soldiers beyond figureheads and parade and pomp and circumstance. They didn't have any warriors. Now, when they came for Jesus in the garden, they had these wooden staves. That's all the weaponry they were allowed to have, and that was a big deal, that they brought these staves. The guys with the shields and the sword and the weapons, those were Roman soldiers. Pilate said, you can have a watch. I'm going to give you a platoon of guys to go up there and watch the grave since it's only 3 days. You can have a watch and you can seal that tomb and you make it as sure as you can. In verse 66, so they went and they made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. You know what happened on the third day early in the morning? Up from the grave he arose, the seal of Pilate. See, before these other kings, they would break their own seal. King Darius, King Ahasuerus wrote a clause to mitigate the proclamation. Here, Pilate sets a seal on the stone of the grave of Jesus Christ. And on the third day, up from the grave he arose. The authority of Pilate was overcome by a greater authority. His ownership. He could not own the Son of God. His authority. His security. Everything was overcome by a higher authority and higher power. A more sure security. Pilate's seal was broken. The angel came and he rolled the stone away, not so that Jesus could get out, so the world could see in. The seal that God placed on every believer is secured by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I want to show you a few seals in the Bible as you think about them. When God put Noah in the ark, he left the door open for 7 more days, and then God shut the door. Oh, everywhere else on that ark, Noah pitched it within and without, with pitch. Everything was tight, was completely, but here's this door. The Bible doesn't give us complete details, but look at this door. We think about a door on the side of the ark that flopped down, and it worked as a ramp, and they came up. All the animals marched in, and all the supplies marched in, and Noah and his family, his sons and their wives marched in. And they're in the ark, and the ark's just sitting there with the door flopped down. And God shuts the door. Oh, Pastor, what about the cracks around the door? They had to seal it with gopher and pitch all over it, within and without. And here there is a spot where God shuts the door. What is the seal there? It's the power of God. And the ark was more secure around that door than it was in any other part, because that's the part that God secured. Where do we see another seal? You remember when they took Moses and they put him in a basket? Bulrushes? Every time I mention throwing someone in the river, everybody doesn't take it seriously. And here, for Moses' protection and safety, he was thrown in the river. I say, Brooke, I'm going to throw you in the river. Oh, Pastor, you are not. I say, Miss Judy, I'm going to throw you in the river. You are not throwing me in the river. I don't believe you. Moses, I'm going to put you in this bulrush ark, and we're going to throw you in the river. What kept Moses safe? Why did that thing not get tipped over by an alligator? In the Nile River, the longest river on earth, there's fish in there big enough that they would have chomped up and ate him. God protected. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And God sent an angel with a flaming sword to guard every way. It was sealed shut against them coming back in. The Red Sea was sealed up on either side by the power of God as the children of Israel walked through. The sundial and Hezekiah walked back 15 degrees. Do you know what happened to make that work? Now, here's how we would do it. We would move light and shadows and get the thing to go back. God moved the earth back. 15 degrees. It's amazing. Hezekiah, they did not realize the significance of what God did. We only understand it later. Jesus comes walking out on the Sea of Galilee, and he would have walked past the disciples, but they saw him, and they thought it was a ghost, and they called to him. Look in our culture. It used to be that two men could shake hands, and that was as good as a signed contract, and each would keep their word. We'll look at the actual signed contract. And that used to be good. Now people sign the contract and they hire the attorney to break it. The brand on the side of a cow. You know, everybody wants to put something cool on the brand. Caleb's family has a brand for their cows. He hasn't drawn it out for me or showed me, but he talked to me about it a little bit. I heard about this family. It was a large family. How many brothers and sisters did you have, Miss Joanne? 12! Everybody had another idea for the brand. Somebody wanted to put an eagle on it, and somebody else wanted to put a butterfly, and somebody else wanted to put a unicorn. And this brand just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they took it out. They got the big old fire going. Got that brand in there. And it took about four of them to lift it up, and they put it on the side of that cow. Killed the cow. There's methods of doctoring brands. Those guys that would take and they would heat up links from a chain and they would take an S and make it into an 8. And they'd steal cows local and they would sell them local with a different brand. Oh, that's a brand from Texas. But when the cow has been butchered and the hide is taken off, when you unzip the zipper and take the hide off of them, and you look at the back of the brand, you can see the original brand, and you can see where it's doctored. The scars are different. Really? So, all you gotta do is knock a few of them cows out, unzip the zipper, and check under their PJs, and you can see if they have a doctored brand. We have a seal, an unbreakable seal. Jesus says, you're in my hand, and I'm in the Father. And no man can pluck them out of my hand. Secure and safe in the hands of God and in the hands of Jesus Christ. We've got Darius, Ahasuerus, and we have Pilate, whose seals were ultimately broken. In 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. He's talking about the day he comes back for us. Our seal is an unbreakable seal. It does have an expiration date, but the expiration date is when we're safe in the arms of God and in Jesus Christ. Thank God for our seal, the precious Holy Spirit. Ownership, identification, security, value, and authority, the seal of the Holy Spirit on the life of a believer.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.